More than two-thirds, or three or three and a half volumes of a five-volume work will not be about salah or soam, etc. It will be about teaching this Muslim how to interact and live with his fellow human being. Akhlaq and character forms, ulama explain, they say mu'amalat, mu'asharat, social interaction, financial interaction, teaching us how to live with our fellow human beings forms more than two-thirds of the shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, ma min shayin athqal fi mizanil abdil mu'mini yawm al-qiyama min khuluqin hasan. He said, nothing, not salah, not zakat, not fasting, will be heavier in the scale of deeds of a mu'min on the day of judgment than akhlaq and character. Ask ourselves why. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a rahmatul lil alameen. He was a mercy for the entire alam. In the present situation in the world, only about 20% of the world's population have brought iman on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet his legacy of rahmat and mercy extended beyond the restrictions and constraints of time, race, creed, color, or nationality. He was a mercy for the last person to come in any corner of the globe right up till Qiyamah. 20% of the world's population today have brought iman on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other 80% is not in the masjid. The other 80% do not see your salah. They do not see your zakat. They do not even see your Hajj. What do the other 80% see? What is their exposure to the rahmat, to the legacy of rahmat and mercy of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Their exposure is to the akhlaq and character of this believer, his financial interaction, his social interaction, the manner in which he conducted himself. When this akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was imbibed in Sahaba Ikram's lives, then there was no need for lengthy debates about the haqqaniyat of Islam. There was no need for long speeches and exhortations inviting towards Islam. The disbelievers used to see the physical manifestation of Islam and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhibited in the lives of Sahaba Ikram, and they would come to them in wufood and delegations, we want to become like you. Sahaba would say, kunu mithlana, become like us, and in flocks people would enter into Islam. The sermon, the khutbah which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave on the Hajjatul Wada is a clear elucidation of this point which we are making. A gathering the like of that will not be seen till Qiyamah, nor was it seen before that. And to bring the minds and the hearts of Sahaba, to awaken it to the realization of the importance of the message that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to deliver on this occasion, he asked them, Ayyu yawmin hadha? Ayyu shahrin hadha? Ayyu baladin hadha? O my Sahaba, tell me, what day is this? What month is this? What place is this? Ulama explain that it is impossible to ever have the idea that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doubted whether Sahaba knew what day it was, or what place it was, or what month it was. They knew, yet he posed the question to them. This is to bring their attention to a higher level, that what I am about to tell you is very, very important. And look at the response of Sahaba. to these rhetorical, so-called rhetorical questions, where they said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam. 124,000, not one stood up and said, O Nabi of Allah, I know what day this is. Oh, I know where I am. Oh, I know what place this is. This was the reality of Iman, where they had handed themselves over to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, a Sahabi says, that the reason that we did not respond to the questions, despite knowing the answers, is that we thought that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to change the name of the day. He wanted to change the name of the place. We were ready to accept whatever he said. If it was day and he told us it was night time, we were ready to accept that what our eyes and our logic and our perception is telling us is a lie, but what Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said is haq. And then he said, Ala inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa aradakum alaykum haram ka hurmati yawmikum hadha fi shahrikum hadha fi baladikum hadha. He said, listen, my Sahaba, the life, honor, property, and dignity of a Muslim is haram. This word haram in this context means sacred. The life, just as Makkah is sacred, just as Mina and Arafat is sacred, and just as Hajj is sacred, and just as Baytullah is sacred, in the same manner the life, honor, and dignity and property of a Muslim is sacred. A Muslim is one that when he opens his mouth, then roses come out, not thorns. When he extends his hand in a gesture towards another Muslim, then immediately that person understands that this is a gesture of warmth. This is a gesture of affection. This is a gesture of kindness. This is not a gesture which in any way poses a threat to me. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, Manil Muslim, what is a Muslim? In one riwayat it comes, what is Islam? He said, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimun wa fi riwaya man salim al-Nas min lisanihi wa yadi. He said, a Muslim is that person who when any other Muslim or when an-Nas, when humanity looks at this person, immediately they are convinced that this person by his tongue or by his hand in no way poses a threat to me. So when he was asked, Wama birrul Hajj, what is a righteous Hajj? Hajjul Mabrur, what is birrul Hajj? What is Mabrur Hajj? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the reply. One is what we would expect the reply to be, and one is what the reply which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in reality gave. He said, Tibul Kalam, Ifsha'u Salam. وَفِي حَدِيثٍ آخر إِطْعَامُ الطَّعَامِ. He said to feed others freely, to speak kindly in an amicable fashion, to make salam common amongst you, to be a source of benefit to the others that are with you, that is birrul hajj. كان ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه يقول البر شيء لين وجه طليق وكلام لين البر شيء هين. He said, Bir, righteousness of Hajj is a very simple thing. And he reduced it, he explained its simplicity to two expressions. He said, Wajhun Taliq. He said, to have a smiling face. Wa kalamun layyin, and to speak softly and amicably with those that are with you. Su'ila Sa'id ibn Jubayr, rahimahullah, Ayyul Hajji Afdal. قال من أطعم الطعام وكف لسانه. Sa'id bin Jubayr rahimahullah was asked, who is the most virtuous haji? He said, the one who controls his tongue and the one who feeds others, that is the most virtuous hajj. Ibn Aun rahimahullah, two people came to him. They said, oh Shaykh, we are proceeding for hajj. We are proceeding for the journey of hajj. Give us advice that we can hold on to. that is very vital and important for this journey of Hajj. He looked at them and he said two things. He said, control your anger. Control your anger and spend freely upon others. That night, those two people saw Ibn Aun rahimahullah in the dream. And in the dream they saw that he was gifting them with two pearls and jewels. Buhaym Ajali rahimahullah, on one occasion, one person requested him to take on the journey of Hajj with him, a wealthy businessman. So at the first meeting of the wealthy businessman and Buhaym Ajali, they are about to proceed for Hajj. Buhaym Ajali rahimahullah, he starts crying bitterly. And then he starts wailing loudly. So this wealthy businessman gets irritated. And he thinks to himself that this is going to be a very difficult journey for me. This man is screaming and crying all the time. They asked him, why are you crying like this? He said, ذَكَرْتُ بِهَذِهِ الرِّحْلَةُ الرِّحْلَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. He says, does not this journey of Hajj remind you of the journey when you will have to present yourself in the court of Allah? Nevertheless, they proceeded for Hajj. And when they returned, the person that had formed this companionship, he came first to the wealthy businessman. And he said, how did you find your companion on this journey? This aspect of akhlaq and character, if we look in the lives, in fact, Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is mentioned that when anyone would request them, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu and others, that we want to accompany you for Hajj, they would say, I have one condition only. Ibn Umar was asked, what is your condition? He said, I will only let you accompany me on this journey if you will allow me to make your khidmat. Then only you can accompany me on this journey of Hajj. This we find in the lives of Sahaba, and we find this in the lives of the Salaf al-Salihin. Ibrahim bin Adham rahimahullah, clearly he would make the people sign and write down that you must allow me to make your khidmat, then only you can come with me in Hajj. One pious person, he proceeded on the journey of Hajj. If he would see anybody wanting to wash his clothes, he would say, I made a condition with you. Give me those clothes, I will wash it for you. If the animals needed to be tended, he would tend them. In one riwayat it comes, قَدِمَ نَاسٌ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ سَفَرٍ يَثْنُونَ عَلَى صَاحِبٍ كَانَتْ مَعَهُمْ فَقَالُوا مَا رَأَيْنَا مِثْلَ فُلَانٍ قَطُّ. On one occasion, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam returned from a journey, and they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam praising so and so who was with them on this journey. And they said, O Nabi of Allah, we haven't seen anyone as good as this person. Always he would be in salah the whole night. Always he would be engaged in fasting, in tilawat of Quran. His tongue was always wet with the zikr of Allah. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hearing this karguzari, he asked them, Man kana yakfihi dhayatahu, wa man kana ya'lifu dabbatahu. While he was involved in all this ibadat that you are talking about, who would feed his animal and who would put up the tent for him in order to free him so that he can make so much ibadat? They said, Nahnu ya Rasulallah, we would do this for him. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَكُلُّكُمْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ كَمَا قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, every one of you in Allah's eyes is better than that person. This person, this pious person, we were mentioning that incident, who would make khidmat of his satis on this journey, he passed away on the same journey. When they went forward to prepare his coffin, they found underneath his skin, between his skin and his flesh, not on the surface, underneath the skin was written the words, Min Ahlil Jannah. This person is a Jannati. When Buhaym Ajali returned and they went to this businessman, wealthy person, how did you find your companion? He said, "Kana yatafaddalu alayya bin nafaqati wa ana musirun wa huwa mu'sir." He said that a better person than Muhaym Ajali I've never seen. And then he goes on to describe why I considered him to be a better person. He says that he would spend more on me. He would spend freely whilst he was a poor man and I am a rich man. كَانَ يَتَفَضَّلُ عَلَيَّ فِي الْخِدْمَةِ وَهُوَ شَيْخٌ وَأَنَا شَابٌ. He would make my khidmat whilst he is an old man and I am a youngster. وَيَتْبَخُ لِي طَعَامًا وَهُوَ صَائِمٌ وَأَنَا مُفْتِرٌ. He would be fasting. I would not be in a state of roza, yet he would cook food and feed me on this journey of Hajj. So they said, "You had complained about his crying before you proceeded on this journey." He said, "Allah caused the love of this man to overtake me to such an extent that even the love of his crying entered my heart, and I also learned to cry before Allah." And we both would cry so excessively that other people seeing us crying, they would cry because of our crying. It was this akhlaq and character that brought people closer to deen. And in fact, the whole essence of this, if you look at the khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he delivered on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada, majority of that khutbah, ulama explained, they say 90% of that khutbah pertain to akhlaq and character. To instill these qualities in the lives of his ummah, because this is not an ummah whose life and whose mannerism is confined to itself, but this is an ummah that has to become a rahmat and a mercy for the entire humanity, as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy for the entire humanity. Coming back to the riwayat, unfortunately I keep digressing. The time is very limited. It is not my intention to go into a detailed discussion of the masail of Hajj, but just certain aspects with regards to the spirit of Hajj. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says on this occasion of Arafat, Allah Ta'ala descends to the first heaven, and then Allah Ta'ala addresses his angels, "Look at my slaves, they have come to me from deep and distant ravines, their hair is disheveled, their bodies are full of dust, yarjuna jannati wa yakhafuna adabi, they desire my jannat and they fear my azab." Then Allah, addressing the gathering of Arafat, Allah calls out to them, "Falaw kanat dhunubukum ka'adad al-matar, o ka'adad al-ramal, o ka'qatar al-matar, o ka'zabad al-bahar." O gathering of Arafat, O Hujjaj, if your sins be as many as the number of rain droplets that have fallen from the heavens, or your sins be as many as the grains of sand on this earth, or your sins be as many as the foam of the waves of the oceans, لَغَفَرْتُهَا لَكُمْ, I have forgiven all your sins. أَفِيذُوا مَغْفُورًا لَكُمْ وَلِمَنْ شَفَعْتُمْ لَهُ. Return back here. Return back from Arafat. Return back from this journey of Hajj. مَغْفُورًا لَكُمْ, you are forgiven. Not only are you forgiven, those on whose behalf you will intercede, they also are forgiven. It is mentioned in the hadith, the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he used to say, "Allahumma ghfir lil hajj wa liman istaghfara lahu al hajj." O Allah, forgive the haji. O Allah, forgive the haji. And forgive every person on whose behalf the haji will seek maghfirat. So blessed and honored they become in the sight of Allah. That is why the poet says, "Ala kulli zuwari habibillah, ala kulli zuwari daril habib, hani'an lakum bil jinanil khulud, afidhu alayna min al ma'i fayda, فَنَحْنُ عُطَاشٌ وَأَنْتُمْ مُرُودُ. Say to the one who has gone for Hajj, who has gone to the Baytullah, who has gone to the home of the beloved, Mubarak, glad tidings to you of a Jannat which will remain forever and ever. Give us some of the water from which you have drunk. Make dua for us also. Remember us in your duas also. We are thirsty and you are drinking from the spring of Allah. This is the phase of mercy which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends on the Hujjaj. But very, very important. Unfortunately, my respected brothers, with regards to this concept of birrul hajj, another very important point which ulama remind us of, which is encapsulated in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he said, "Tahujju aghniya'u ummati lit-tanazzuhi wa awsatuhum lit-tijara wa qurra'uhum lir-riya'i was-sum'a wa fuqara'uhum lil-mas'ala." He said, a time will come when the very wealthy, the ruling classes of my ummah, will make this journey of Hajj a holiday or a tourism expedition. It is the month of December, schools are closed, it is holiday time, so instead of going to Paris or London, let us go to Baytullah for holiday. The middle classes will make this journey of Hajj an exercise in business. They will go to pick up business experience and business ideas. The ulama will perform Hajj for the sake of show and fame. So and so sheikh made so many Hajj, and so and so sheikh made so many Hajj. And the poor classes will make Hajj for the sake of begging. Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala numa used to say, "Al-Hajju qaleel wal-rukbanu kathir." That I can see that the Hajis are few and the travelers are many. Shuraiq Qazi rahmatullah used to say, "Al-Hajju qaleel وَالْرُكْبَانُ كَثِيرٌ مَا أَكْثَرَ مَنْ يَعْمَلُ الْخَيْرُ وَمَا أَقَلَّ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهًا." He would say that travelers are many, the hujjaj are few. How many people are doing good deeds? Look at his observation. How many people are doing good deeds, yet how few of them have sincerity and ikhlas in what they are doing?